So, just want to go around the room. When I say that, of course, that doesn't mean everybody has to talk. But last week when I had talked about definition of disciple, what were the key focus points that I painted in the picture? As a disciple, what should we be? What should we be doing, going about?
Light bearers.
Say it?
Light bearers.
We need to be light bearers, yes. But I'm going to be specific on this. What were the four focus points that I threw out to be able to just look at that snapshot? Okay, so our hand, and our hand is related to
the work we're
doing. Doing the mission with Jesus, doing the Lord's work. All right. What were the other three?
Feet.
So we got the feet. And
the
feet.
Spreading the word.
Yep, proclaiming the word. All right, good. Got two down, two to go. Yep, thinking. Okay. Chris is back there now. You guys didn't see him, you know. So are we thinking like Christ? Go through that. Having the mind of Christ. And then?
Heart.
Okay. Yep, are we being made into Christ, you know? Are we truly worshiping him through that? So thinking about the last week, I'd love for a few of you to give an example of something that, you know, God, you know, had kind of been talking with you about over the last week. Maybe you need to focus in this area to be a little more like Christ and relate it to one of those four.
There's a lot of areas.
Only pick one. Yeah. I don't want people to go to the top. You
know, give us one now.
One for each person. Yeah.
Black sheep of the group up.
One for me that came up probably three times in my quiet time was the proclaiming and the sharing, to make sure that I am. And that's probably three times in the last 7 days in my quiet time that was highlighted for me. Somebody else?
Probably the one that keeps coming back to me is just having more of the mind of Christ, just, you know, a day-to-day activity, just how would I handle this, how I interact with others, and, you know, getting to know him better through his word or, you know, prayer. It's a really big focus in the church on prayer right now, so, you know, it's kind of brought it a little more into my sight, but just that's probably the one that I focused on more.
Okay, great. Somebody else. Last 7 days, kind of what God's just kind of been pressing in with you. Just one area, a little more Christ-likeness. Thinking, being, doing, proclaiming.
I recognize that I'm not proclaiming as much as I probably could.
Okay.
Well, everybody else seems to have like one area, but being such a new believer, I mean, it's all of them. You know, am I thinking like him? Am I acting like him? Am I spreading the gospel? You know, am I telling people the good news that he's just shared with me himself? So it's been all of them.
I mean, I'll take more than one, but you know,
I
don't want to put everybody on the spot. Yeah, that's why I was just keeping expectations low.
Well, it shouldn't be low. It shouldn't be low for a new believer. You know, but.
Somebody else.
Well, I have this little boy in my class that should have been on the prayer list tonight.
Hmm?
And so that little boy, I mean, his behavior, I know God brought him to that classroom. I do. I really do. And I really just felt like that the Lord wanted me to love on him more and love on his parents. Because you can see, you know, just what they need. But because of his behavior, you don't want to do that. It's like every fiber in your being just wants to walk away or, you know, and that's what he's there for, you know, because he needs that love. He needs that patience. He needs that kindness. And I was like, wow, Lord.
It's all you, girl. You got it. So why I ask the question where I'm coming from is something that I had said a couple weeks ago. You know, to me, we're to help people understand God's story because we're going to listen to their story. And then we're going to be able to make a connection between their story and God's story through our story. If you aren't willing to share in a safe environment how God is working on your life, I think it's going to be really challenging for you to be willing to share your story with somebody else that is, you know, not in a safe environment. And so that's where I want to keep giving you chances to be willing to share in here so that it becomes second nature and easy for you to admit that God's working on you on this, he's working on you on this. You know, I had given this over to him for a while, but last week I kind of snatched it back up off the altar. And, you know, because we need to be able to talk about how we're not perfect with people that don't know God. Because if we come across to them that we're perfect and we have it all together, we're really not giving them a picture of that we need God. We're really showing them that we can handle it on our own. And so then that's really not us being the light and the salt. And so I'm going to keep pushing in, you know, on you to try to share just what's going on during a week. You know, what's something that got impressed upon you, you know, during your quiet time or during an interaction with somebody, or when you heard a song, you're driving down the road and, you know, you heard a song and just got kind of pushed in. Hey, you know, you think about this area about your Christ-likeness transformation. You know, could you, you know, go a little further, surrender a little bit more, you know, from that direction. All right, let's jump into Romans chapter 1. We're picking up there at verse 24 tonight. We picked up a little pace last week. We'll pick up a little bit more this week. We got a couple big chunks that kind of verses say the same thing, so we'll handle it a little bit larger and move forward on that. So somebody go ahead and read us 24 and 25 together.
Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So, does anybody know the first question that I should be asking right now? You know, just seeing if we're, how we're progressing.
Who is them?
That's a good question, but that's the fourth word. So I knew you guys knew the question. I didn't ask it the right way on that part. Okay, so as soon as we read this passage right here, these two verses, what is the first thing that should pop into our head? Say it again.
Therefore.
Is everybody getting that? What is the therefore, that first word, or wherefore, depending on your translation, but why is it there? For what reason is it there? All right? That should, Bible 101, you read a passage, you see the word therefore, wherefore, boom. So now, where do we go with that then? Okay, we got to go back. All right? So we flip back. Now, the challenge can be is, how big of a chunk is the writer referring therefore to? You know, is it just the last few verses? Is it the last paragraph? Is it the last chapter? That sometimes can be a little more challenging to be able to figure that part out. But if we just go ahead and start off with the last paragraph there from about 18 to 23, then what is he referencing before he starts this next sentence?
They did not honor him as God.
Okay. So here's where we're going to get to Chris's question on there. Who's the they? Who's the they, the them?
The unrighteous.
The unrighteous. Okay? All right. So he's done this whole paragraph explaining the unrighteousness within certain people. All right? And so before he begins into this next section, he's going to refer back to, okay, remember we just talked about people being unrighteous a minute ago? Mm-hmm. Well, keep that in mind when you listen to what I'm talking about going forward. All right? So, Chris, we got yours and, therefore, in that. So, when he's referring back to the unrighteous, in these two verses, what are the points that jump out to you? About them, the unrighteous.
Kind of like, okay, go ahead, do what you feel like.
Yep. Is that not what God did right there?
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's what Paul's talking about right here. You know, he's just like, God gives us a lot of opportunities, but we have to understand, we might not know where the line is, but we have to understand that often there's a line, and he'll give us opportunity after opportunity, but then he'll just say, okay, all right, do what you want on that part.
Are you saying, so when they're left to their own devices, the choices that they'll make, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
What kind of discernment they'll use in a Christian way?
Well, since we're talking about unrighteous people at this moment, they're not going to make any decisions in a Christian
so
way.
So they have a worldview, secular worldview.
Yeah, well, once he gives them over to their own mind, it's a secular worldview.
Right.
So pretty much all their decisions are going to be that route for the foreseeable future.
I actually read this earlier today, and the thing that
you're allowed to do that. I mean, just so everybody knows, you're allowed to read it ahead of time.
Great notes.
Get that out there. Take some notes. Go ahead, Chris.
Is what verse 19 says: what can be known about God is plain to them, but God has shown it to them, but they didn't adhere to it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much they knew about God, they were like, we don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do our own thing.
Debbie, you shook your head. You had something?
I just said it wasn't of importance to them.
No.
And it has to be the main thing.
Yeah. Byron, you shaking your head. What are you thinking?
Yeah, because Beatrice was saying back in 22, they profess to be wise, but they're really fools.
See, I'm starting to recognize, you know, head shakes when you, I can tell you've got something, so you need to go ahead and spit it out. Jessica.
I was
going
to say that God isn't giving people over to their uncleanliness and their lustful ways or whatever when they haven't been given the gospel. These are only people who have been given the gospel and rejected it.
They've had opportunity. You know, we talked about that last week. That God gives everybody the opportunity to know him, to come to, you know, that relationship some way, somehow on that. Anything else in those two verses that you want to pull out?
Just notice that they started believing a lie instead of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like things that, you know, are. Like if you tell yourself a lie enough times, you start to believe it, is kind of how I picture that.
Okay.
And then at the end there, he says, just so you don't forget, I'm still the creator and I'm blessed forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he owns it all on that. What does it take? Sorry, go ahead.
I'm thinking today of probably a really good example is the transgender movement on how I was reading an article today where even the science, follow the science, they're making up their own science to, and this person in this article said, all you have to do is Google it, can men have babies? And they've got all kinds of proof of men having babies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so where men have gone, is they just make up their own rules.
So we know definitely this passage is talking about the unrighteous, talking about unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can Christians believe a lie? How is that possible? How can we as believers that have the Holy Spirit believe a lie?
Yeah, how about the biggest one? Say a little prayer and you're saved.
Well, I'm actually, let's actually just give everybody the benefit of the doubt and say, for my hypothesis question, I'm talking about people that have a literal relationship. Not a Matthew 7 Christian, but somebody that has a true relationship. How can we believe a lie?
If we're not faithful to, like, compare the situation to God's word and be kind of checking it and making sure our lives align with that, we can go with our own wisdom or the world's wisdom and seduced by a lie.
Okay, good. Somebody else. How can we, even as a believer, have the Holy Spirit within us? How can we believe a lie?
Choosing to live in sin and quench the Spirit.
Yeah. Okay, quenching the Spirit. And that?
That's exactly
right. Okay.
Stolen.
Because we want to. There you go. That's a good one here.
That was what I was going to say.
You stole. Mm-hmm. They stole yours.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, there you go. Somebody else. How can we as believers with the Holy Spirit still believe lies?
Because we have a sin nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to get us every time if we're not careful.
Yeah. 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 Constantly battling.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have all the facts.
Maybe because...
One at a time, though. Okay. The monster here. Okay. So Chris's point is that we have a sin nature. So even though we're saved, our heart's circumcised, so our heart, who we are, is not attached to our sin nature anymore, but it hasn't gone anywhere, so the influence is still there. Okay. Now, Jessica.
I was just going to say that Satan is really good at lying. So, oh, yes. Like, we have a really impressive enemy to be fighting against. And so, like, if you aren't growing and learning, you know, gaining discernment and, you know, surrounding yourself with believers, it doesn't even necessarily mean you're living in sin and quenching the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're just not, you know, getting that kind of input that you need to be able to discern. Because, like, with what you brought up, I think about, I have people in my life, not maybe on that specific topic, that's pretty extreme, but there's people in my life that I know love the Lord on both sides of the political spectrum, and I find that very confusing because I feel like it's pretty obvious, but I guess not. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think they both are, like, sincere Christians, you know?
Tom, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, if you don't have all the facts, you know, you can listen to the wrong person feeding information, and if that's all the information you have, then that's what you want to do.
So I think, you know, out of this, you know, we have to make sure that when we read Scripture and we're talking about certain people, unsaved people, that we don't throw them under the bus and think that just because we are believers that, oh, we're not like that in any way on that part. Okay. So we just got to be careful on that. So we had some more hands here.
Mike.
Byron or Jake.
I was just going to say that a couple different points. I think a lot of us are kind of lazy. So when you have a lie that's masked in a lot of truth, it's really easy to not do the homework and fall into that trap. So
and aren't those the best lies when there's enough truth in it to carry it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Hey, can you repeat the question real quick? Before I get my answer, so I don't sound stupid. I think I heard you, but I want to make sure I heard you right.
So it's easy for us to throw shade on unbelievers, the unrighteous, for them believing lies.
Christians are believing lies?
So my hypothetical. Well, the passage is talking about unbelievers believing lies. So I'm bringing this to application for us. So for us, as believers, I said, can we also believe lies?
Sure.
So people said yes. So I said, so how can we as believers that have the Holy Spirit still get sucked into believing lies?
Well, I was going to reply with, because the truth is uncomfortable.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're actually more comfortable with the lie. Woo. Charlotte.
I was just going to say kind of like what he said about, like, if we're not humble enough to know, we need to put on our armor every single day. Mm-hmm. Be in the Word and be praying and asking the Lord and just remembering that we are just humans, and if we don't do that, it's so easy for the enemy to get through to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump in that great discussion there. So somebody give us 26 and 27 now.
For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those who are contrary nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error.
So go ahead and hit us with 28, 29, 30, 31 with this.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over a reprobate mind to do those things which are not covenant. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers.
Keep going through 31.
Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Unmerciful. Can we keep going?
I couldn't help you on that one word because my translation was different. So
I'll mark out KJV.
Yeah, I could do that.
I should probably ESV.
The reprobate, I can figure that one out. Okay, so when we have 26, 27, there's something specific being talked about there, and then you have 28 through 31. So I had it read in two different sections for a reason. The reason is I don't want us to get lost in 26 and 27,
right,
because that's a big sin, and miss 28 through 31 because those aren't so big. But I did want to highlight the difference, so that's why I had people read differently on that part. So going back through, what do you hear from Paul the whole way through from 26 through 31?
Sin.
Sin.
A whole lot. Sin.
Okay.
Sin.
Right.
No levels.
Yeah, no levels. Somebody else. What are you hearing in there?
Hey, just
describing the unrighteous.
Say that?
Mm-hmm. Describing the unrighteous.
Okay, yeah, so it's a full description in there. Good, somebody else.
No, the one thing that does stick out to me why the 26, 27 is that the first thing God did was create man and woman in his image, and that he said, you should be fruitful and multiply, and a man should leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and these are distinct violations of the first rule that God gave to any mankind.
I do have to agree with Dick. I think the reason Paul started off and he gave 26 and 27 first and separate, it's not because of the sin that he is talking about in and of itself.
Right.
It's going back to creation. Because
right.
Jesus does that at times,
yeah.
Especially talking about marriage and the visual imagery there. So going back to the garden, going back to creation, when we talk about God's story, we talk about creation, fall, rescue, restoration, redemption, restoration. Sorry, I got my word in there. Or I guess I need to do it this way for you guys so you can see it on that. So we got creation, fall, redemption, restoration on that. You know, to me, in restoration, God is really trying to bring back us and the world to creation. Even though this side of the end, it's not going to be the whole way back to creation, but that's where he wants us to be on that. And as Dick was saying there, you know, we have to understand that homosexuality is an attack on the image of God,
right?
Because Adam and Eve were originally created in his image. And so I do think that's why he's making a point to this, so that they would see the image of God connection. Not that it's greater than what's going to come in the sentences right after that,
right?
But so that we could separate how and why it's a sin on that.
Is Beatrice, do you have something there?
No?
Okay, you look at it.
Chris? Verse 28 says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, so what I'm seeing there is he's saying 26 and 27, this was my natural order, and this is going to be the consequence of not following that natural order. You're going to also deal and be embroiled in all this stuff too.
Yeah, it's definitely because they're not thinking like Christ. You know, their mind is debased. You know, it's wicked. Whatever translation, whatever word that you have in there.
She's a nursery.
Nursery.
She was chit-chatting too much. So
chit-chatting too much. And see, she wanted to talk in here.
She did.
Are you on?
Sorry, I can chase a squirrel in a heartbeat. He's finally hitting
me.
Like,
scared
yeah.
me there. You're staring at me.
Oh, no. I was like, yeah. Go, Steve.
Yeah, well, in Deuteronomy, talks about the blessings and the cursings, right? You got the two mountains, I think, Gerizim and Elim right there in the middle of Shechem. I think it's called Sychar. No, anyway. And if you abandon God, you're going to be cursed. Okay? And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the fruits of the cursing. These people are cursed. But God can turn a curse into a blessing. I mean, Christ was cursed. I mean, God had to turn his face away from his own son. Right?
When Jesus was on the cross, if you didn't read it,
that's
what he was saying.
That's
right
what I'm
there.
Talking about.
Yeah.
If you're not tracking.
Yeah. Just want to make sure that, you know, when they knew what you meant when Jesus was cursed.
Yeah. So the blessings is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the blessing that God gives us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, tenderness, all of that.
They all come out of that. That relationship.
And we see the fruits of those that are cursed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing here.
So now that I've kind of been able to make my point that homosexuality is not greater, it is not a higher ranking sin, let's go ahead and look at those ones that you see starting in there in 29. What's some of the ones that you see in 29 and 30 and 31?
Murder.
Malice.
What's malice?
Hatefulness.
Hateful. Oh, yeah. Ooh, hatefulness.
A world full of malice.
Full of envy.
What's envy?
Envy?
Jealousy.
Well, kind of too.
Grudge.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
Covetousness.
What was that?
Covetousness.
Okay. What does it mean to covet?
Wanting.
Lust after. Yeah, good. Okay, what's another one?
Gossip.
What is gossiping?
Ask the women.
People don't do that no more.
I mean, the unrighteous do it.
Gossip is right up in there
with murder. What the old ladies doing,
Brian? Yeah. Okay, Debbie, go ahead. Run with that a second. Say it again.
Gossip is in there with murder.
Why is that?
Because you're killing the person that you're talking about. You're killing their spirit to somebody else.
It's definitely in the same sentence. So
yeah, it's all in there together. So why am I having us go through these very slowly and talking about them?
So we can understand.
So we realize they're all the same.
We all do. I mean, a lot of the stuff.
Something in this list.
It's easy to do.
Okay. Well, see, again, it's got to come back to the application has to come back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, if we ever read scripture. And you're in my presence, and we don't touch on application. We'll hit God truth, we'll hit man truth, but we're going to hit personal application because if we only walk away with knowledge base of man truth and God truth, and that's it, then we just wasted our time.
If you
just do good on Jeopardy, you know, Bible Jeopardy, and you don't do good on Christ-like transformation, we're not there. So, Debbie.
I was just going to say, another one that stuck out to me besides gossip, because, you know, it's just, that's an easy one that everybody falls in that pit eventually. If you don't, then you're probably lying, which is another sin. But the disobedience to parents, it's not being talked about to little kids. This is just unrighteous people, which are full-grown people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dishonoring your parents, even at, you know, older ages.
That's one of the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm.
But also in here, in verse 30, it says, haughty and boastful. And that makes me think to Proverbs, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting yourself in a place that's going to get even worse if you're not careful.
So let's go down that road a little bit further. All right. So notice how I asked the question. Where is an area in your life that is on this list that is a weaker area, a flat spot, an area of temptation for you? I'm not saying that you're falling into it. I'm not saying that you're committing it. But you at least acknowledge that as you look at your life over the past and coming forward in your Christ-likeness, that that is still an area that you have to be careful about. Or you could slip very easily into that.
I'll tell you what the main issue is here. I think it is remembering your past. Because a lot of times you don't remember your past.
Okay.
You know, God always brought Israel back to their past. Remember what I did. Remember how I delivered you.
And
a lot of times I don't go back and remember how God delivered me.
And I'll tag with Jessica in on that thought there. With Satan being such a good deceptor, you know, he'll keep taking us back. If we don't learn the lessons of our past sin, he'll just keep repeating the record. I mean, he's just like, hey, let's just pick up the needle. Oh, that's a bad reference. He'll just pick up the needle and slide it back over and do it all over again on that. He'll hit the repeat on the MP3 player.
Stop wire. Stop wire. Just an
elastic band.
He does that, like he encourages you to repeat old sins, but something that I've been, like, walking out is that, like, something that I used to do that I don't do anymore, sometimes Satan reminds me of just to make me feel guilty about it again. And that can kind of, that's the same thing that it can bring you back to doing it again just because you feel guilty about it. You feel like you can never
get like really fully forgiven or whatever.
There is, you know? No, there is that balance of being aware of our past, mm-hmm. understanding that we're forgiven of it, being alert that we don't fall into temptation into that, but yet on the other hand, don't let Satan tell us that we've not been forgiven and that we're not worth it.
Or that you'll mess up eventually.
Yeah.
Or, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah, so we have to find that balance point in there. So,
or you could even say, you know, I've done it and the Lord forgive me, so I can just do it again and forgive me again. So, yep. And continue doing it.
And we can't fall into that. Okay, so I've given you enough time to look at the list and think. So who's willing to go ahead and be honest and just share, you know, again, not that you're falling into this tonight or this week, you know, so don't like, you know, run out the room and gossip, you know, oh, you should have heard what Dick talked about, you know, his flat spot and his temptation there, you know.
Well, I got one for you.
Okay.
I was fighting with malice on the way here tonight because I turned my turn signal on to move over in another lane and the guy poor behind me sped up so I couldn't move over.
I mean,
that was me.
That's real. I mean, that's real.
And
as believers, we have to talk about those things. You know, we have to be honest on that. Okay, so who else is willing to be honest here?
Hey, Mike, what's my...
Probably two that are not the best two to have, I would say, is arrogant and without understanding or foolishness.
Okay.
So I'm an arrogant fool if you really think about it.
I'm not gonna argue with you. Steve, you had something?
Yeah, my thoughts are my imaginations. You know, what I got to do is discern between what's real and what's imagined.
I got you.
And a lot of times, you know, if I run with those imaginations, they eat me up. And I came to the realization that I got to remember that these things are like wolves. I mean, they can destroy you.
We're in a spiritual battle. That we've kind of touched on that a couple times tonight, but I haven't highlighted that.
Yeah.
You know, we have to understand we're in the midst of a spiritual war.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 mentions that.
Mm-hmm.
About casting down your imaginations and high things. And I don't know.
Miss Debbie?
Well, I have one I was going to mention, but I also was going to say I'll never be ruthless because that's my middle name. So, but no, I
but she is.
Bears will never be ruthless because he always had me. I struggle with my faith, and I didn't think that is, you know, sin, but it's faithless. Like, mm-hmm. There's been times, mm-hmm. not right this second,
right? Yeah,
there's been times when I'm like, is all this like just a joke? You know, like, is it made up? I mean, mm-hmm. it's something that I think everybody struggles with at some point.
I mean, if you can't see a flat spot, a temptation, or an area of weakness on this list, you need to read it again this week a couple times. So, I mean, we're all in the boat together here. None of us are walking on water. Okay, who else wants to kind of confess, you know, I'm a little challenged in this area?
Hey, can I add something?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you're the one admitting it, so.
This is what God, you know, revealed this to my heart.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, in the physical realm, right, the wolves devour the sheep, and the sheep are more plentiful. All right. And what he realized to me was that in the spiritual, God's sheep devour the wolves. God's sheep devour the wolves. And the wolves are more plentiful.
I'd have to process through that one. I think I see where you're coming from on that one.
I struggle with being malice.
Fair enough.
I struggle with being malice.
Malice?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris?
Well, for years I've been telling myself I want a Ford F-350 King Ranch Edition pickup truck.
What's wrong with you?
When I see one, it's like, man, that's a nice truck. But we've been talking the last few months about, is that something we really need? Mm-hmm. And do I need to stop looking at it? And the desire being so strong that I still catch myself saying, I want that truck, even though we mm-hmm. said, wait, do I need that?
Mm-hmm.
And then and today, I was walking around the parking lot and saw one, and the thought that came to my mind was, why is it that I have to keep giving up my desires?
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to give up my desires, mm-hmm. so his desires come through.
That's a word there. Good. Somebody else. He's got it.
He's bearing his soul. He wants to try.
I'm sorry. Byron, did you just throw him under the bus? Tell him just pray more about
it. Just tell him pray hard for it.
Tough crowd here. Okay. Miss Kathy, go ahead.
Well, I struggle with envy because my husband died 4 years ago, and I see a couple, especially an older couple my age, and holding hands especially, and I'm envious of it, and I've never, I won't say never, but I don't immediately see that as sin, but it is. And I have to struggle with, you know, the Lord gave me 25 extra years with him when the doctor said he was going to die, but, you know, I had all of that, and, you know, I need to be happy with what I have.
I was going to say ruthlessness, because I try to consciously be kind and forgiving, but in my heart, I could go ruthless, like, if I don't prepare myself.
Amen on that one, Shelby!
Right. That was Shelby saying
for the record.
I'll share my ruthless shot.
Is that connected to that you, the way you're wired, you have a natural lack of empathy?
No, I think it's just if I can mentally cut someone off real fast and be condemning if I'm not
mine's connected to
if I'm not reminded to how much I am forgiven for my faults.
Mine's connected to
so yeah, are you now gonna empathy. Are you yeah. now gonna confer absolution?
In what way? Well, haughtiness is also another one for me, so yeah, I can fall into that one. So
can I ask for some?
Yeah, go check.
Some context. We're talking about believers, right? These are the sins.
So my questioning right now is about believers.
Okay.
The passage is talking about unrighteous unbelievers.
The reason why I ask is because I have a specific translation that says inventors of evil. And I couldn't, I was trying to think through like how a believer would invent something evil. And I just needed the context. So
that's one of those we can still be tempted into. I think it goes along with the ruthlessness there, mm-hmm. as far as it's not that we're creating evil from nothingness, but yet we have to understand ultimately we're either godly or we're ungodly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if we're ungodly, we're evil.
Okay.
Well, so, okay, so even as believers, way, yeah. we can be creators of evil in the choices that we make. And that's we just have to have that understanding. Back to Chris talking about, you know, we have our flesh, we have our sin nature, and that's there's nothing righteous within our flesh and sin nature.
We need to be careful that we are not taking this list and saying, okay, all of us are unclean and like the we need to look at it as being careful as believers to pay attention to those little things springing up in our life, because as God has said, we are righteous positionally, but we need to be careful about the little bits of unrighteousness that we live with day to day.
Because we have the Holy Spirit within us, we can live without going down any of these paths.
Right.
Because we now have His righteousness. We just have to make sure we're living in that righteousness.
These are the things that characterize the unrighteous. Yes.
And so that's where our little alert should be going off. If we start to feel like we're even drifting towards this, then that's where we need to go. Am I focusing on God as much as I need to be on that part?
We're not to be like the world.
Yes. Okay, let's keep going there. I thought we had a good conversation with that. So somebody hit us with 32.
So they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So there we see the culmination of what his list is about. It's not about the believer. It's about the one who practices those things. Their lives are made up of those things, which... granted, not everybody that's an unbeliever has everything. I know some good unbelievers.
Well, yeah.
Some ones that are pretty decent people, but that the we can definitely look around in our world today. I'm still amazed at some of the things I hear from the average day-to-day person that I rub shoulders with that just kind of set my teeth the wrong way. So.
Oh, yeah. I had a great conversation with a guy in the Navy on the ski lift on Monday, and yeah, things he was talking about, I was like, okay, all right. So then we talk about God's creation and having a personal relationship, and so we're going to pray for Joey on that. One thing we're seeing in that is that, you know, they've given themselves over to it,
yeah.
And so naturally with that means that they have to then be okay with everybody else doing it.
Right.
And so we just have to be careful of that thought process that we're allowing other people to do it because we do it. Because it can work the other way also on that. Anybody else, something you're seeing in there?
Today's society and how we're so accepting of, you know, it's hidden behind good, you know, yeah, you know, like
social justice,
the LGBTQ movement. Like, you don't want to, like, I don't hate any of those people, but we know that that's like super wrong. Like, but yet the government pushes that, like, in so many different ways. Or you don't have to say push it. I guess you could say
encourages it.
Yeah,
it.
Like,
sure.
That's like, how do you defeat that? You know, like,
to me,
the social acceptance,
personally and relationally.
Yeah.
You know, that we just have to, in our own lives, be that salt and light in that area with people that's their challenge.
But then you're the bad guy.
We just have to accept that.
You know, so that's why
I say we have to do it relationally.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be loving, you know, to the extent that we have a relationship with them, that then we can talk about things. No, we're never going to change it if we don't have relationships.
Is there any examples that we can look to? Are there any examples?
In what way?
Jesus interacting with homosexuals or things of that nature.
Well, I think, honestly, the two paragraphs that we just read were talking about, I mean, at the beginning of both of them, it said that God gave them up to their dishonorable passions, there being homosexuality or there being gossiping. Like, I mean, you just have to love them, even though they're sinning. I mean, loving them.
Yeah, I think in Luke chapter 5, it'll be the next passage on Sunday night. Not this Sunday night, because this Sunday night is?
Game night.
All right, game night. And then, so who's not coming Sunday night? Okay, so everybody else will be here. Have a great time. All right. Okay.
She's going to be out of town, so she doesn't have a job.
I know. We talked about that at staff meeting today. You know, she didn't like playing it or anything. So, but we'll cover that where Jesus goes to Levi, Matthew, you know, tax collector, and calls him out. And then he goes to his house and eats dinner, and all of the sinners, you know, are there. And then the Pharisees actually call Jesus out for hanging out with the sinners. And so, you know, we'll talk about how we need to be hanging out with unrighteous people to help them to see that there is a difference on that. And sadly, the people that cast shade upon us for hanging out with lost people,
typically lost.
They might not necessarily be lost, but they're definitely going down the wrong path to judge us, because Jesus lived with them, reached out to them, and hung out with them.
Being friendly with lost people is one thing. You just want to make sure you're not taking it to the wrong level. Like, the venue matters. Like, you don't want to go to a bar and say, oh, I'm just trying to lead people to Christ.
The venue matters, and your context matters. Because, you know, for many of you that would be an abnormal environment. You know, I got friends like JD2 and Bill Johnson that are the pastor and the associate pastor at Freedom Biker Church. And, you know, they came up through the biker community, and so them going to a bar is, it's within their normal part. I mean, they're not there drinking and getting drunk, but as far as truly going to a bar to be salt and light, that's okay. That's within, they can handle that and not go down that road. So we have to be careful when we put up certain parameters. Now, for some people, you know, for me, I'm just never going to get out of that road.
And D.L. Moody used to go into the taverns in Chicago and preach, but you couldn't do that today.
Yeah, that's where you have to go back to the relationship stuff today. And you get relationship. Now, again, I'm not saying that's for everybody.
You could, just you know, that's for
but we got to be careful that we don't throw people under the bus for doing certain things just because God doesn't want us to do it.
Right.
Doesn't mean that, you know, because there's certain things that are in a gray area. We talked about that last week. Most of the Bible is black and white, but there does leave a gray area there on that part. So we just have to be careful.
All right, I got a question.
Oh.
So what you said earlier about, you know, the LGBT community and it's not normal and stuff like that. You know, Christians, we might see that as that's abnormal behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, we're the abnormal ones.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you combat that? Like, because it's like a neutral battle.
To me, the only way we can get through that is relationally.
You
right.
Know,
yeah. You know,
it almost sounds like you just have to love them for who they are and be accepting. But how do you love them and you still don't, like...
You accept them,
you know,
but
it's
you don't
okay, buddy,
them.
Like, you can sin,
but... But that's where you have to have the relationship with them that you can talk about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just have that honest back and forth with them. So when they see you're consistent... When they see that you really do love them and you do care for them, you don't beat them up the side of the head, you know, then that's going to help them. You don't
so
yell
you take
and
a very
scream
tactical
at them.
Approach to things.
Yes. But to me, I think we need to take that same tactical approach with every lost person.
Right. Right.
Not just people that are in the LGBTQ plus, you know. I think we need to be heavily thinking relationship with every lost person.
Well, just speaking a spirit of prayer, no matter what conversation you're going to get into with someone, because you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And if you're asking the Lord to help you, shut your mouth when you need to shut it and say what is hard, then He'll help you. He will do it.
But again, that's where I keep bringing us back to, as you're listening to them, you're listening to their story. If you can connect their story to God's story through your story, then you're not going to come across haughty and that you know it all. You're actually highlighting how God has worked in you, and you're pointing out, like Dick said a little bit ago, hey, I just want to point out this is God and this is how He worked through me in my life. It might be able to happen to you the same way in your life or very similarly. And so that's why our story, our testimony is very important. And that's why we need to be willing to talk about it and be honest about it and be transparent about it, because to me, that's what's going to hold the most water when we're talking to lost people.
So common behaviors, like common
experiences. Yes, I think that helps out. Common experiences, how we can touch consistency. Hannah?
I think from my own experience in situations like this, when people know where we stand with our faith and they see us live it out every day, they're almost expecting probably judgment. And so for me, I found that when I'm consistent and genuine and open about my faith, the love is actually what shocks them. They're not really even taking it as acceptance. They're taking it like, wow, this person definitely believes differently than me and is still showing this love to me. Why? So that relationship definitely makes a huge difference.
Back to your question, Mike, on that, you know, think about the woman caught in adultery. Now, we won't go down that road because that's just like a whole thing about, well, how did they catch her in adultery? And, you know, kind of like that. But just thinking how Jesus interacted with her, you know. Now he pointed it out, you know, that you know, yes, you are an adulterer, okay, but nobody here, you know, is, you know, calling you out anymore. And I'm not going to. That meant you were forgiven. But then what did he tell her?
But
he was that loving and caring. He was consistent. You know, he get smacked upside the head. You know, just talk through it.
Which he got past the condemning her of it into the saving her from it, because his goal was to save her from it.
And that's what, you know, we have to understand when we're interacting with lost people, the restoration.
That's the goal.
That's the goal, and so we have to figure out. Is our goal really restoration with that person, or is it to win the argument?
Do we want to prove we're right and they're wrong?
Yeah, or do we want to help them get right?
To, yeah. if I could just add, my point, what I was trying to bring home was the fact that the world sees that LGBTQ issue as being a good, it's acceptable, and it's, they're so accepting of it, they're even pushing of it, that it puts us in a hard spot trying to convey that message appropriately.
It does.
Because, like I said, I don't want to judge that person for their choices, but also, you know, I don't want, you know, I'm in the same spot with these other little issues, you know what I mean? So I'm like...
And that's what I'm trying to make sure that we're seeing clearly.
Yeah.
And
I think about
it. Is that we're just as much as a sinner, okay? And so we can't rate or rank them and say, ooh, I'm just haughtiness.
I think
it was almost the last one mentioned there, so you know, it's really low on the list. You know? But
everybody could get behind the fact that, like, gossip is bad, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But, like, when...
Yeah, they get behind it so much that
I'm just saying, like, that's just something like lying or something like that. Everybody under murder, that everybody can get behind, that's bad. But when everybody thinks, oh, well, you should, you know, this is, you should do that, you know, and now your kids are seeing it on cartoons and stuff. So it's just it's a tough spot, you know. So
it is. And again, the only way I think that, you know, relationally is the only way that we can, you know, now as citizens, we need to try to make sure we exert our influence through voting and things like that.
Yeah.
But we always have to come back to that the government is never going to be able to, you know, be the morality police and fix it. So our effort in fixing it is one person at a time, one relationship at a time.
That's a good point.
You know, if we can just, the people that you're around, because God has you around lost people, because you're His army, He wants to use you in their lives. Jamie?
As a teacher, I found this last verse very helpful.
Okay, go.
Because our students are growing up in a time where they are pushed to love everything. And the pressure to disagree with something means they're being unloving.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had discussions in Bible classes and stuff like that, and I just bring it back to, are you giving approval to those who practice? Because then you are grouped in with them. Because all of this puts the person giving that approval right in the midst of all of that. And giving that as a mindset for them, some of them who were struggling with it, that helped them a little bit. And giving them that idea that it's not unkind to be honest. It's how you deliver the truth that is very important. And you can disagree with what they're doing and still love the person. And they need to hear that. And we talked about things like the government paying for college. You know, it didn't matter what we discussed. We kept bringing it back to, well, why do you think that's okay? Is it really okay? And then going back to, are you giving approval to things? And so it was a very helpful tool to help students who are struggling with, if I make a decision to say no, then I'm being unloving. And I found that to be very helpful there.
Our society is associated love explicitly almost with acceptance, unlimited, just acceptance. That's the only thing that's true love, and that's not
an approval and praise. Like, not
yeah,
only
it's like,
must you accept me, but you must enjoy and like
celebrate.
Yeah.
Celebrate.
You must celebrate.
But if you let your kid
everything.
Touch your stove, you think you didn't love them. Yeah. We don't think about it that way. Like,
and so that's where we have to help them see through our lives that we can be a loving person, but yet be able to have an honest conversation with them. And the way we come across matters on that. Now, I'm not going to say that it's going to change their mind, but it'll probably go a whole lot further than you holding up a sign as a funeral procession goes by of somebody that's homosexual, and that sign says, you know, your son's going to hell, your son's already in hell.
It'll definitely spark a thought.
You know, I don't. Not that I would see any of you holding a sign like that, but
I get what you're saying.
You know, that's the extreme of that.
Yeah,
that person wants to prove that they're right.
Yeah.
That person doesn't want to help that family
right.
become right with God. You know, and so that's where we have to see where our heart is and where we're coming from. What is our actual goal? You know, is our goal to be a disciple that makes disciples and make disciples? Or is it that people look at us and, oh,
yeah. You should probably put that online and just advertise it everywhere because I think a lot of people need to hear that. So, just saying.
Maybe a little more tactical with it.
Yeah,
gotta be tactical. Great discussion tonight. Good stuff. All right. Who's gonna close us in prayer? Oh. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for the amazing time we can come together and just explore your word and learn from each other, and even when we are being real. Lord, we ask you to continue to let your word come alive to us, and that we grow closer to you, and that you are glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for the honesty and the sharing tonight. Good stuff.